Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1624, air date December 13th, 2025.
All right, and joining us now is Dr. Shiva, and Dr. Shiva Ayyadure, and he is running for Senate as an independent, right? That's that's a good thing. The website is shivaforsenate.com. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Shiva.
Good. How are you doing, David?
Doing good. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing here, what your goals are.
Yeah. So I think, David, people know that fundamentally those in power give people essentially only two options on their battleground and how to participate in politics, right?
Right.
These are the two promoted options, which is you run for office in either the Republican or Democratic Party, take a left or right position, or you file lawsuits, you become a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, if you wake up at some point in your life and you say, you know, I see injustice in the world and I want to change it, they give you these two vehicles: legalism, become a lawyer, file lawsuits, or electoralism, right? Run for office. Now, the reality is, if you just take that those two positions, you invariably get either demoralized, or you get co-opted, or you compromise. And they know this because the judges, the courts, the legal systems, the electoral process is all controlled by what I call the swarm. And if people want to understand what that is, they can go to shatterthesvarm.com. And I describe that in a very scientific way, the structures of power. Okay. So, but what they do not teach, David, anymore, or they rarely even talk about it, is that actual changes come through bottoms-up political movements of everyday people, organizing locally and building self-organizing systems, mass movements.
That's right. That's right.
And this is the fundamental way any changes come. So that's at the core. So if you have a movement at the core, and then you go participate in the electoralism or the legalism process as a vehicle for, A, at minimum, building the movement, and a potential you may actually win some legal cases and participate much more robustly in the electoral process. So a priori, you have to have a movement. Without that, you're going to get compromised.
Who was the, I think it's somebody, anthropologist, I can't remember the name, said something like, you know, a small dedicated group of people is the only thing that's ever changed the world. I'm paraphrasing. Maybe you know that quote, but.
It's a dedicated, it's a dedicated group of people who have, in any field, politics, science, medicine, who have really taken the time to apply the scientific method to understand how nature operates. And then once with that understanding, then you go do innovation, then you bring something to humanity. So example, for since the time immemorial, people thought human beings could not fly, right?
Right.
Then you had people understand Bernoulli's principle. And then you had the creation of airplanes, which came from that understanding. Or people never thought we would have lights. You know, we'd always live in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You had Maxwell's laws, these principles. Then people created all these gadgets that, you know, we have light, we don't have darkness. So when it comes to politics, there's been a view that there will always be the oligarchs and the rest of us have to suffer, right? There'll always be the 0.01%. And just like there will be darkness, only birds can fly, you know, just deal with it.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah.
And then as a part of that, you were just talking earlier about Christian, you know, the fake Christians in every religion, be it Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, the corrupt owners of these religions take these religions and they create a political ideologies to support the suppression of the masses of people by the few. In Hinduism, they called it karma, the Brahmins, right? Christian evangelism now supports another political ideology called Zionism, right? Nazism. But the notion of rationalizing that there's no way out of this, that you simply have to accept the way things are. And if you do want to change it, run for politics, you know, raise money, you know, be Republican or Democrat. You're going to have to compromise or become a lawyer where you're doing deal making. You never really present in court anymore. Mm-hmm. So we have sort of shattered both of those, David, and it's been a long arc of a lot of hard work, you know, my personal journey. But also we've built a global movement. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a lot of hard work. It's something that should have been done several generations ago. But those in power brainwashed people to think a Bernie Sanders was going to take care of it, or Donald Trump was going to take care of it on the right.
That's right.
Or Tucker Carlson, who grifts all day long, was a CIA agent.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
Or Nick Fuentes. Yeah. Two feds, by the way, having interviews with each other saying they're not feds. Right? The biggest psyop.
That's right.
Right. So quite fascinating. So everything they do, and I want people to really, if there's one thing you get from this conversation that I want to share, is that everything that the swarm does, the elites do, is to disempower you from even the thought, an iota of the thought, that we must build bottoms-up movements.
That's right.
That's it. And if you understand that, you will understand what we're doing, what my life has been about, what our movement's about. You know, our movement is Truth, Freedom, Health.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to truthfreedomhealth.com. And we educate people on history. We educate people on engineering system science. So just like Bernoulli's principle or Maxwell's laws, I've uncovered these natural laws, David, that come from engineering science that show the dynamics of nine principles, how every system in the universe operates. And the cool thing is I can teach this to anyone. You don't have to go to MIT. Okay? Mm-hmm. But with that understanding, you get this very deep view of the dynamics of all systems, and you can apply it to political systems. So Truth, Freedom, Health, there's no and there or dashes or emphasizing one or the other. They are three principles. Mm-hmm. The movement of information and matter and energy freely, that's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
The conversion of ideas to find what is real, that's truth, the conversion process. Mm-hmm. And the vessel, the structural process which contains truth and freedom, that's your health, economic health, your physical health, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, the principles of movement, conversion, and structure appear in everything. I could do a whole lecture. I don't want to bore you guys on that. But we have founded a movement on scientific principles. So you can't just do science. You can't just be an activist fighting for freedom. You can't just take care of your health.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have seen during COVID, you had all these yoga people and wellness people who talked about health, but they were all supporting masks and getting vaccinated. Complete dysfunction.
That's right.
Then you have people who talked about freedom. But the same people who talked about freedom were supporting lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And those people who talked about science, truth, were making claims that the only way to get out of this was you had to take the mRNA vaccine, mm-hmm. and you had to put people on respirators. I was the only first one, the early one, who said, gave a protocol as a scientist, that the focus is the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take the systems approach, you see things as they are. This is why our movement and my work was always at the forefront. In 2020, we were the first ones to call out, you know, COVID. We were the first ones to expose the depths of election integrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like PhD level stuff we did. And we were the first ones in our historic lawsuit to expose the fact that government has an unholy alliance in social media companies. We won our preliminary injunction in our lawsuit. We exposed the hypocrisy of people like Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where government ends and where Elon Musk begins, nobody knows. So our movement has grown now because we have leaders all over the world. We ran in 2017, 18, and we had a great meme, if you remember. I may have it up here, which says, only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. And it was a picture of me and Elizabeth Warren. Even though it was only 7 or 10 of us, we ended up getting about 150,000 votes in Massachusetts. And we were the ones who forced Elizabeth Warren to take the DNA test. Not Trump, not Donald Trump Jr., but we had these signs, David, that went viral. We had magnet signs. I think thousands of them. I think I can show you a picture of them, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just to remind people of sort of the, you know, there is a creativity to politics,
mm-hmm.
and it's really an opportunity where real art can thrive, you know? it's you know, where So if I can share my screen, I think I can. I think I need to send a request. But anyway, the hatred against Elizabeth Warren was not a hatred against her individually, mm-hmm. David. It was the fact that she represented a fake Indian. All these fake politicians who say one thing and do another. In Elizabeth Warren's case, it was very much more direct because she said she was a Native American and was not. And because of that, she got jobs, a cozy tenured professorship at Harvard. And mind you, a professor at Harvard is like the Brahmin of ancient India. They're the ones who control ideas. They make $3 to $5 million a year. They get the best health care. They get free gym memberships. Their kids get to go to school for free. And so it's quite hypocritical. So, our slogan with my picture and with Elizabeth Warren in a headdress, by the way, you could put Donald Trump in the same headdress. You could put Elon Musk in the same headdress, Bernie Sanders. But at the depth of the subconscious, we were hitting something deep that these people don't work.
That's right. And they when she took that test, that really did hit home. I remember Babylon Bee had a joke about it. They said, well, you know, Hillary Clinton did a test and she found out she had more alien lizard DNA than Elizabeth Warren did. I repeated that joke. And because of that, I had the Daily Beast try to get me thrown off of Twitter because I repeated the joke about that. They absolutely are humorless. It's funny how humorless they are.
When these came out, David, they tried to tell me to take the signs off my bus. It went into a federal lawsuit and I ended up winning it. The city of Cambridge. But the reason I bring this up, so that was 2017 and 18. That was our first foray into electoral politics. Mm-hmm. You know, I spent 40 years of my life building movements. Mm-hmm. But the reason we decided to do that was we obviously knew that we had a very low chance of winning because the Democrats and Republicans control it. But we injected ourselves, and it was a very successful work because we forced her to take the DNA test. We got on all these social media and platforms, but we built this broad understanding, whether people knew it or not, about the hypocrisy of all these guys. Mm-hmm. So that was first phase. Phase two was we ran in 2020 as a Republican. Because everyone said, oh, you were against Pocahontas. Why don't you run as a Republican? Because they thought I must be a Republican. So we did. We gave the Republican Party in Massachusetts an opportunity to have someone like me, 4 degrees from MIT, accomplished, 7 companies, who came from a bottom, built myself up. But the establishment Republican Party in Massachusetts, which always works with the Democrats, had no interest in supporting me.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
Nonetheless, we raised close to $2 million in 2020, all $1, $5, $20 predominantly donations. And we had 3,000 volunteers. We had 25,000 lawn signs up, 10,000 bumper stickers. It was quite extraordinary. Every part of Massachusetts, you could not leave Massachusetts without seeing a Dr. Shiva billboard on the major highways, et cetera.
You know, even here in Tennessee, when you ran for president, there were Shiva signs around here. We saw quite a few of them. You know,
so exactly. Yeah, so yeah, you got a lot that of shows David, not only the strength of people's affection towards our ideas, mm-hmm. but the fact that we have people on the ground all over the country.
That's right.
For that matter, now all over the world.
That's right.
Okay.
And I like that, what you've done to empower people and to get them to understand that it really is from the bottom up. And, you know, Trump understands that, and the establishment understands that. It's one of the reasons why Trump is so adamant that they're going to shut down any state or local regulation of AI. It's only going to be in one rule to rule us all, right? And that's going to come from him. And it's going to come from Washington. But they're very afraid that when people see a problem, and they do see a problem, you know, they think most people don't buy into the climate change thing, but they do buy into the changes that AI could bring upon us. And they don't like it. They don't like the police state surveillance. Trump does. And so he wants to shut that down, anybody pushing back against it, because that's where the real power is. The real power is from the bottom up.
Yeah. And so if you look at the movements of the late 1800s, early 1900s in the United States, there was these very bottoms-up organic workers' movements, which they try to relabel as Red Scare communists, you see? Mm-hmm. So that's what McCarthyism did, right? Mm-hmm. These weren't movements controlled by Russia. They were organic American working-class movements. And they're the reason America actually did become great. During 1970 to, I'm sorry, 1900 to 1970, as GDP grew, everyone's wages grew because the elites were afraid that working class Americans would take to the streets. In fact, during that period, David, there were 11,000 strikes, close to 200 million people. Ordinary people wouldn't take BS, right? They would organize. And these were organic movements.
We need to reclaim that. We got to reclaim that because they're going to do it to us big time. The wealth transfer that's going on now is incredible.
So the right-wing McCarthyites branded those movements as communist, hijacked the fact that four American workers were hanged in the 1800s fighting for the eight-hour workday. And that's why the international working class labeled that May Day. It wasn't a communist holiday. So they essentially created this false narrative. So between 1950 to 70, the Democrats like Bernie Sanders and other left trade union top-down people took over the unions, and Wall Street was given to the right wing. So by 1970, there is really no more fight anymore. They destroyed these bottoms-up workers' movements. And between 1970 till today, if you read the RAND report that came out a couple years ago, as GDP has grown, the wages of the first and second income quartile of hardworking Americans has gone down. And if you add it all up, if you do the calculus on it, between 1970 till today, it adds up to $47 trillion of wealth has moved to Trump and Jared Kushner and Elon Musk, et cetera. So, but here's the interesting thing, David. The left will do half-truths against the right, and the right will do half-truths against the left.
That's right. Or they'll say, what about the fact that these guys did what you're accusing me of doing, you know, and so I get a pass to do it now. They set precedents for each other, right? It's like, but what about him? He did this crime, so I get to do the same crime, you know?
So they have, and so anything that they do that seems truthful is not truthful. It's basically to split the middle, which are, the middle works, which means the middle class working people actually work. Bernie Sanders has never worked. Donald Trump has never really worked. Tucker Carlson has never really worked. And if you look at these characters, Robert Kennedy Jr., as I call him, Booby Kennedy, has never worked. AOC has never worked. So on the left and the right, you have these leaders who essentially had the birth lottery given to them. Even this guy, Mamdani, his mother is a very, very famous Hollywood director. A lot of people don't know this. Mira Nair. And she directed her son. This was not something he organically came up.
Central casting.
So the left and the right have spent a lot of effort in manipulating people to think that they are actually in some fight. So this image that I recently developed, I don't know if you know, I have a degree in graphic design, David. So this image sort of captures our meme for 2026 in my U.S. Senate race. I don't know if you can see it.
This the middle works.
So even the fist, which was a left-wing quote unquote theme, Trump started using the fist, if you noticed. So we're saying let's give the middle. And what do we mean by this? And you know, this came to me actually in a dream on how to structure this, but it takes an effort to work on these kinds of graphics, you know. But we say the middle works, which means we work for a living. And we must, the middle must rise. So we have all these workers rising up through the middle finger. On the left, you have the donkey fearing people rising, AOC, Mamdani, and Bernie, which are sort of the characters, the cast of characters who represent the left. And over you have, I like to call him Effer Carlson, but I know you, in respect to your show, I won't do that. And you have Booby Kennedy, and you have Trump and the elephant. Both the donkey and the elephant are fearful if someone like me, David, who actually comes from below, that actually has built a movement, a brand even. I mean, no one gave me Dr. Shiva as a brand. See, this is the other thing. They don't want independent people getting limelight or getting fame because they have to own even that. So when I exposed all this stuff in 2020, the backdoor portal to Twitter, the COVID stuff, the election integrity, they created their own cast of characters 2 years later to literally plagiarize my material. And they still do it today because they cannot give independents the limelight because they represent the people. So our view is the middle is rising. Mm-hmm. We must shatter the swarm. And what we are doing, David, is this meme is a very powerful meme because it goes to working people and saying, look, do you want to get over your own dysfunction? Mm-hmm. That's what our campaign is going to do. Mm-hmm. It's not about forget them. We know what they're doing. But when you have someone like me running, why aren't you getting off your butt and going to your neighbors and saying, you got to vote for Dr. Shiva? Because it's not like they don't have a candidate anymore. No. So our campaign, I'm going to run, David, but I'm not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the emphasis I'm going to do, someone, and we have a lot of people say, oh, Dr. Shiva, you were great. Thank you so much for doing those videos. Great. Now, what are you going to do?
That's right.
Don't just say you like my videos. There's 4,000 of them. But are you going to go tell your neighbors to pledge their vote for me right now? So people go to Shiva4Senate.com. You'll see what we've done, David. Mm-hmm. People can go right now and pledge their vote for me. Now, we're not waiting to next year. So if you're listening and you have friends in Massachusetts, tell them to go pledge their vote. But not only that, tell them to go talk to their neighbors and their family and their friends. Everyone needs to be a microactivist.
That's right.
The old, even me going out, running, I mean, we did this, right? We drove all around Massachusetts in our bus. We put up all these signs. It still was a set of us.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
only way we working people can win is if it's a self-organizing system, which is a principle of system science. If individuals on the node all say, hey, I like this guy, Dr. Shiva. I know he's proven. It's not my resume speaks for itself, David. Mm-hmm. You look at all these politicians. Let's look at if they have ever in their life solved a problem.
We had you had Trump who bankrupted six casinos.
It's like, that's exactly.
Gotta be like the ultimate low achiever. He's even sued the people who wrote a book about him who said lucky loser. They've got a slot machine on the cover.
Well, I think one of his professors that one of his professors word said he was the dumbest student he ever had. So what you're looking at is and Booby effing Kennedy, by the way he applied to Harvard was just put his name, the hubris.
Yeah.
And he gets in. His thesis is completely written by his roommate who couldn't get girls. So the trade was he would get him girls and he wrote his thesis. So these people do not work. And you have to have a significant amount of hatred and anger at them. Mm-hmm. But the more important thing, David, is what we want to educate people is why are you in this? Why are you letting the left and the right divide us?
Yes.
And this is a personal dysfunction people need to do reflection on.
Yeah.
And so my job as an educator, as a, you know, I think a penultimate candidate for Senate, is I've worked to get here. Mm-hmm. So people now, working people need to say, wait a minute, this is one of us. Why do I vote for the left or right? They mm-hmm. need to do their own reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 1 degree shift that needs to take place. And
yeah, because you have these people who the double think that they're able to engage in is just amazing. They absolutely hate X or Y. Let's say they hate the vaccine, right? But they love the father of the vaccine. It's like, how can you not see this? I understand when it is sold to them by the people who make money by appeasing these people and by telling the group what they want to hear. But the groupthink is absolutely killing us.
Well, the reason it's occurring, that's why this graphic is nice, David, because they have it down to a science. It's a psychological mm-hmm. operation science. So Bernie Sanders or Mamdani or AOC will attack these people as quote unquote Zionists, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or they will attack them and say, you guys are Nepo babies, right?
Yep.
Which is true.
Yep.
And these guys on the right, you know, Trump will say Bernie and all these people just want free stuff, which is also true.
Yeah.
Okay? So the reality is Mamdani is not talking about like a workers' state where working people sees a means of power. He's talking about top-down socialism, state capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
No different than what Trump wants, what he's doing with NVIDIA. That's why Trump and Mamdani meeting, I did a little blog post on this, and being chums in some sense, each supporting each other, reveals the fact that the economic conditions in the United States where working people have been devastated. So what the elites are doing is that entire scene in the White House was telling working people on the left and the right, don't worry, we have it under control. Trump and Mamdani are meeting together. They're all on the same team. You don't have to do anything. they'll take care of it.
That's right.
And this is why the middle is so important.
That's right.
The middle must rise up. And from a philosophical, spiritual, whatever you want to talk about it, our 2026 campaign for U.S. Senate is going to be a very different campaign. We're going to ask the individual, oh, you support me, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's and it. We're going to go to all these working people and say, look, you work for a living. They don't. Mm-hmm. Why do you give all your self-respect to them? Mm-hmm. And I think this is, if you study the psychology of abusive relationships, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. The abuser somehow brainwashes the abuse victim to keep coming back to them. Mm-hmm. You see, in mm-hmm. all sorts, and so it's basically a mass abuser abuse victim relationship.
Yes,
that's what we're fundamentally dealing with. And the way they're able to get away with it, David, as this meme reflects, is one group says half truths against the other, and the other group says half truths against the other. Mm-hmm. So people are literally split. So Trump, the elites, the swarm created Trump because they needed the white working class to have hope. Mm-hmm. Because the same white working class, at least 60% of them, who voted for Trump had voted for Obama. Mm-hmm. And his thing was hope, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So they have this down to a theatrical physics.
That's right. Yeah, we're supposed to believe that Trump is a blue collar billionaire.
Yeah, or Tucker Carlson, yeah. who wanted to be in the CIA, is somehow come to some, you know, holy revelation that he's fighting demons, as he says, in his sleep, mm-hmm. and now he wants to reveal truth. Well, the revelation of truth is not sufficient to change, because now every grifter is exposing truth.
Yeah.
Quote unquote truth.
Yeah.
But none of them will ever, when it comes to talking about election integrity, when I did all the breakthrough work, will ever mention my name. Mm-hmm. When we were the ones to expose a backdoor portal to Twitter, and except a few people like yourself and maybe Clayton Morris will say, wait a minute, he's the one who did the work. Mm-hmm. But they literally steal our truth that we expose because they don't want the limelight coming to working people like myself who do the hard work.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
This is what people need to understand.
Yeah.
They do this consistently. Credit. They'll diminish you for saying, hey, I did that work. Oh, why do you want credit, David? Why do you want? But everything they do is about getting credit. The mm-hmm. Trump is a brand. The Kennedys are a brand. Yeah. And they spend billions of dollars mm-hmm. creating their brand equity. Well, I created the Dr. Shiva or Truth Freedom Health brand bottoms up. And that really pisses them off, David, mm-hmm. because we understood their dynamics. Mm-hmm. And that's why in 2026, our campaign in Massachusetts, and we're going to win this campaign because we're going to win it, because the previous campaigns were about exposing truth. But this time we're going to win this campaign. 96% of the youth under the age of 26 in Massachusetts are independents now. Mm-hmm. 65% mm-hmm. of people under the age of 55 are independents now in Massachusetts. The work that we did, a lot of people moved to becoming independent. There's only 9% Republicans and 35% Democrats. So the majority is independents.
Yeah.
And they don't have a voice. So that's why the left and right create this fake dialectic mm-hmm. to split the middle. And so I think the great thing with our campaign is we're going down to the heart, the root cause of the issue. It's not them, it's us, David.
Yeah.
Why is it we remain abuse victims?
That's right.
Why do we listen to Tucker Carlson? The idiot got $25 million working for Fox, and suddenly he's become a truth teller. He didn't know anything about Israel for 40, 50 years of his life. Suddenly, you know?
Or 9/11, you know, he shut down people when they wanted to show videos of what was happening in 9/11, you know, and now I hear he's going to do some kind of a 9/11 documentary and reinvent himself. But
right,
or he never came out. All he said was, hey, if you talk about Building 7, they'll fire you. So I won't talk about it. So who's controlling
Marco,
him?
So yeah. The Age of Disclosure, this movie about UFOs, right, mm. with Marco Rubio. Mm. I mean, anything Marco Rubio is involved with is a joke. OK, the That's guy right. Is a joke. But anyway, they have gotten very clever with these cast of characters. And that is why our campaign is going to take all the learnings, all the work we've done, and focus on the singular point. Do you want to save yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Period. To the individual. And why do you give up your self-respect to these fools who say one thing and do another? They're all fake Indians.
That's right.
Right?
Well, I think it's really coming there. It's coming to a head now because I don't know if you are familiar with the work of Strauss and Howe in the Fourth Turning, but I really do believe the research they had has a lot of validity in it, that we have the cyclical thing. And you can see the institutions and the corruption that is there. You see the economic issues and the fact that all these different countries are trying to find war wherever they can get it to distract the people at home because they know that they're at war with the people at home. So let's get them focused on something over here where we can all unite and they can cheer and get behind us. But, you know, they're talking about how there was an MIT study saying they could replace, and I don't know if it's true or not, they could replace a little over 12% of the workforce right now with AI. If they do
25 million people, yeah.
Yeah, if they do that's going to be instant depression. You know, that was most of the depression, we had about a 14-15% unemployment rate. They could do that just like, you know, with a drop of a hat if they wanted to. And it doesn't matter if the AI really works all that well. They could still fire you, you know. So people are looking at this, and when Huang of NVIDIA went to D.C., people were talking to him. He says, yeah, everybody says it's going to take your job. No, you're going to work harder. You're going to have a job and you're going to work harder. So we can go back, forget about the 8-hour day, right? That's what these guys would like to do, I guess, is take us back.
What's going to happen, David, I don't know if you know, I have the three earliest patents in text-based AI from 1993 that I used for a company. And it's interesting, right when those patents expired, a few months later is when ChatGPT came. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I know a little bit. I was in this field for 20 years. So when you look at AI, you know, as a senator, for example, one of the laws that people should think about is this: you have private companies over here creating technologies to suck human knowledge and instantiate it into a machine. Okay. Mm-hmm. The most of the AI requires what's called supervised learning. So you have to give it information. So they have people in Africa watching images and deciding what kind of image it is. And eventually those people won't be needed, okay?
Labeling,
so,
yeah.
It's called a training set, okay? Uh-huh. So the interesting question, and I think only someone like me could even bring this up, because I understand the bridge between technology, politics, and engineering is, so if you are a worker doing some task, okay? Let's say a radiologist and a machine, which is a private company, is watching your diagnosis. It's getting all that information and it's going into this private company's database. Eventually the radiologist will not be needed. Mm-hmm. Okay. The radiologist was hired, you know, X salary per hour. He was not given any, he will never be given any royalty or IP for his knowledge that was taken from his brain.
Right.
So I would, for example, first of all, educate people like I'm doing right now. But more importantly, if knowledge is taken from a human being and put into a private company, no compensation is made, you could argue that private company owns a royalty stream to those individuals. For that matter, to all of us.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when Google is looking at all of our searches, because there a few of them are monopolies, we are not, as humans, being compensated for the knowledge that they're taking from us. Now, you could say to Google, if you have a web page, I don't want my web page indexed, which means you'll never show up. Mm-hmm. So they force you to give your knowledge to them, and there's no consideration given to you for exchange of this value. So there's a fundamental issue here, and this is happening in the arts, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Most of these, you know, besides the A-list actors, who are also selling their rights by them, they'll get compensated. The majority of us who are working today, there is no fundamental structure to compensate you for the fact that random private companies funded by Silicon Valley are vacuuming up your brain, and you're not going to be compensated for that.
That's right.
So this is, there has to be some compensatory relief for that, because it was your knowledge that trained these systems. You know, when I used to, I created a technology years ago for automatically reading an email, separate from the invention of email, analyzing it and routing it. So we were actually used to watch the call center reps, how they treated an email, and our systems would learn. So instead of doing 6 emails per hour, our call center representative could do 40 emails. Okay? So AI can be used as a significant adjunct to obviously creating more productivity. But the elites don't care about that. They're not going to say, okay, we have 100 workers, we're going to put in AI. Basically, the ideal model would be you compensate people fairly, mm-hmm. but maybe they don't have to work 4 days a week, maybe 5 days a week. Maybe they work 3 days a week mm-hmm. because their knowledge was used to train those systems. Mm-hmm. Instead, what they'll do is fire 80% of the workforce and have the remaining 20% working three times more.
That's right.
You see?
Yeah. So it's kind of what Disney did when they brought in the H-1B visa people. They said, well, you know, we'll give you a little bit more severance pay if you train replacement. And
exactly,
that's really what is happening across the board with artificial intelligence, as you pointed out. Yeah.
Yeah. I did a podcast years and years ago explaining, look, AI is not machine AI. AI existed the instant that Henry Ford created the manufacturing line. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was AI. He took a very complex process of creating a car. He made it into a, you know, individual task-based process. And then he put these carbon-based beings along that manufacturing. Some of them just screwed on a bolt. Mm-hmm. Others put on the windshield wiper. That was AI because you took human creative intelligence and localized it into doing one task. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remove the carbon-based being and you put a silicon-based being, that's still an effect of productivity, which has been explosively growing. You know, capitalism has done that. Mm-hmm. Because the goal of capitalism is to maximize profit. Labor is the biggest expense in that formula. So you're trying to reduce labor, which you're trying to increase productivity. But the promise of that was not that you would lay off everyone, right?
No.
As productivity increased, the mass of human workers should be able to work less hours,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead, mm-hmm. the model that came from crony capitalism was you lay off 80% of the people and then 20% are working harder. And that's what's going to happen with AI.
That's
so
right.
If you learn how to use AI well, you don't need a certain set of low level workers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but whenever new technologies come, David, the legislators in Congress who are basically dumb as doorknobs
mm-hmm.
will always get manipulated, in this case, by Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So, for example, I know this personally, you know, when I invented email back in 78, there were no laws to patent software because the idiots in Congress thought software was a movie script. You were writing something, right? So the problem is when you have idiots who don't create, who are in the political process, they can get manipulated by others. Mm-hmm. It was only 1994 could you patent software. Mm-hmm. In 1980, the Computer Software Act allowed you to use copyright law to protect software, which is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, when you have morons who have never created anything,
right?
Very different than the founders. You know, they actually are architects. So when you are with your hands doing something, you are much more fair in the laws that you want to create, and you're thinking into the future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the founders were thinking 200, 300 years ahead. Because they were creators. But if you look at the resume of 99% of the people in Congress or Senate, and everyone should do this. This is to working people listening. Why are you electing these idiots?
Yeah.
Ask yourself, when they say, I will solve this problem. Well, have you ever solved a problem?
That's right.
Show me one problem you solve. I will fix this. Have they ever fixed anything? I will create this. Have they ever created anything? And I think it's time people take this approach. And the fact that people don't take that approach, David, again, it comes down to a dysfunction among the broad mass of people who have been manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
To think Tucker Carlson making his grimaces and faces has some authority to talk about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't earned that right. I'm sorry. You didn't put in the freaking time. That's or Bernie right. Sanders talking about how he cares about working people. You've never worked a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important that working people derive some self-respect for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the slaves have forgotten they're the ones who are doing all the work.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so
right.
The slaves need to wake up and want to save themselves, want to have leaders come from. There will be leaders. But why are you electing leaders who have nothing to do with you? Who don't even want to be with you, who have great disdain for you. Why are you doing that? And that's because you're in an abusive relationship.
That's right.
And this is, I think, very, very deeply a fundamental issue that people need to reflect on. And that's why in 2026, David, I'm not going to run around. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do all the work.
Yeah.
So if people want me, you're going to have to do the work.
That's right.
That's so,
yeah, and that's a message that people really need to hear, because the plan, and they keep telling us this is a plan, they want to pacify us, you know, well, hey, you know, you can have a job if you want to, but you don't really need to. We'll give you everything that you need. And it's just kind of like having a garden, right? You don't really need to have a garden. You can go down and buy all the food you want at the grocery store. But if you want to have a garden, because that's something you want to do, that's fine. It's a hobby. So you can have some hobbies, but we're going to put you on universal basic welfare. And all the money is going to be made by us. And at the same time he's doing that, Musk is saying, at the same time he wants to have all the money in the world that belongs to him, he's saying, well, money's not going to mean anything, right?
Where did Musk, where they had 3% of the population having 97% do all the mining for emeralds, diamonds, jewels, et cetera, right?
That's right.
So that's where Musk comes from. And he needs to justify his own legacy of exploitation, mm-hmm. right? He has no, you know, when he says everyone's going to, doesn't have to work. Let me put it to you this way. This is what the quote unquote white man did to Native Americans. Mm-hmm. You don't have to work reservation.
Yeah, that's exactly the model.
The average,
yeah.
Yeah. So 70% of people are basically living hand to mouth, right? Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. 80% of Americans, which is, by the way, not a harmless drug. And mm-hmm. we can do a whole discussion on that. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Or alcohol or smoking. Right.
Yeah, so I don't support any of that. I'm against the drug war. But, you know, when you go back to the Indian reservation, I think that really is the model that they've got. Hunting and gathering or whatever it was that they were doing. And they took that away from them by force, put them into this container. With us, for the most part, they're doing it with a program until they become dependent on you. And yet they will go to the next level. That's only going to get a certain percentage of people. As you pointed out, it's decentralized. It's everywhere. The control is centralized. But yeah, and so they'll be able to have a situation where if you don't toe the line, we're going to cut you off from everything. And if you do toe the line, we'll give you all the free stuff. I mean, that's what Bill Gates is doing in India with the Aadhaar system. You know, if you're poor and you're reliant on a handout from the government, that's fine. We'll give it to you as long as you take the number. If you need health care, we'll give it to you as long as you take the number. But that allows us to control you, to inventory you, and to know everything that you're doing. We'll let you walk around freely, but you won't be able to do anything if you don't take the system that we're imposing on you. And so that's kind of the model. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so in the United States now, it was interesting. There's a butcher over here that I went to, a young guy, and he said that... you know, he said, I've got a lot of Bitcoin. This is like several years ago. Mm-hmm. And I saw him a couple of weeks ago and he said, I sold all my Bitcoin. And I said, how many did you have? He goes, I had 280. Mm. I go, but how many did you sell? 20. I go, what happened to your other 260? He goes, I got into on these online gambling crypto sites and I lost 260.
Wow.
Okay, so he basically lost $220 million.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So they have the slaves gambling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On drugs,
mm-hmm.
right, and encouraging them not to work. That's right. A reservation.
That's right.
And this is happening. So what you talked about, the Aadhaar system in India, which was actually implemented by another scumbag called Nandan Nilekani. He's the one who actually developed it, okay, originally. Mm-hmm. He was brought in by the former prime minister to do it. But they have China being the petri dish for
That's
surveillance.
Right. That's right.
And they have India being the petri dish for... getting everyone on a card and how you incentivize people not to work. Mm-hmm. Look, 30 years ago in India,
the kind of the beta test sites, you know,
they're beta test sites,
that's right? Yeah.
Mass populations.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very hard to get laborers to do anything in India now because this Aadhaar system gives everyone a free TV, free mm-hmm. laptops, free food. So people are working like, why the hell do I need to work?
That's what scared me so much about the lockdowns. I saw that as a Overton window normalization of this very type of thing. And I was surprised, when they locked everybody down, everybody's going to take the handout and then they get used to it. just like that. Yeah, I mean, it just took a hold of them. They didn't push back against it at all. So.
What's really interesting, David, I don't know if you've ever gone on safari in Africa.
No.
Have you done that?
No.
Well, it's an interesting thing. I went once, and you're sitting there, and you're seeing all these animals, right?
Uh-huh.
Lions, tiger, right? And you see these monkeys, right? And they're living among each other, and they're scratching, you know, whatever fleas off them. But they're living in this environment. And you think about the fact that we as humans at one time lived in very basic conditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Living off the land, you know, very simple stuff. And I think the swarm knows this, that they could keep diminishing the infrastructure and people live with less and less and less.
Yeah.
So, right? Like That's you right. could theoretically just live in the woods,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to kill it. I mean, you could go to that level of, you could say I'm living off the land, but you could go to that level. So I think the elites have done their calculus
mm-hmm.
and they know that the bottom is pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
So you see in San Francisco, people are shitting on the streets,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of very dumb activists, and this is the demoralization that's taken place to not build a bottoms up movement. They'll say, oh, Dr. Shiva, your movement won't be successful. You have to wait until there's a cataclysm. Then people rise up. It's actually not true. When right. a cataclysm occurs, people go to a new state of oppression mm-hmm. and a newer state and a newer state. So if you ever go to India, you'll see on a highway ride down Delhi, a guy taking a shower and pooping on the streets. And you'll see a guy like the Ambanis in Bombay,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who live in a billion-dollar skyscraper. So the elites know that the human mind can be manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
So putting people on UBI is going to be the squeeze. So I think it's going to be a slow squeeze. They're not just going to go kill people.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get 20 million jobs off AI, put them on reservations, let them get drunk, let them eat crappy food,
mm-hmm.
and they're just slowly going to die off.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And that's what they did with the Native Americans, right?
Right.
So that model, I think, has been mapped out in some wonderful spreadsheet created by, you know, whoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think these guys are very clever. And the only way out of this is us building a bottoms-up movement.
I agree.
Intellectuals like myself.
And if we wait for a crisis like you're talking about, that was what surprised me about the lockdowns and stuff in 2020. I thought, okay, they're going to change things rapidly enough, and they're changing them very rapidly. It's going to wake people up, you know, the whole boiling frogs thing. And yet, when they sped up the change, it didn't wake people up. And I thought, wow.
No, because this is this erroneous theory.
Yeah.
That was put forward.
That's right.
Oppression will somehow give a rise. Oppression oppresses.
That's right.
Oppression doesn't lead to liberation. So they have a set of fake activists
mm-hmm.
telling people. That's why they do all the doomsday stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, Wall Street's going to crash tomorrow. Well, and then people will rise up. It's mm-hmm. nonsense.
That's right.
You have to build. Change is not something spontaneous. Change must be organized. It must be built bottoms up. You have to have the right theory. You have to have the, like anything. I mean, this iPhone didn't just pop out of it nowhere, right?
Right. That's right.
Someone had to think about it, apply the physics, the chemistry, the material science to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they don't want. Intellectuals. So intellectuals are interesting, David. You could say I'm an intellectual, right? You're an intellectual. Now, intellectuals are interesting in the sense they're not a class. Mm-hmm. You know, the mm-hmm. swarm gave me the opportunity to go to MIT to learn this shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I could easily have taken my weaponry of the intellectual knowledge I got and been on Wall Street working at a hedge fund doing nonlinear dynamic equations.
Mm-hmm.
Or mm-hmm. I could say, you know what? I don't really want to do that. I actually want to learn how to shatter the swarm, the system's dynamics. So there was a time at the time of, let's say, the Revolution or the Renaissance, where intellectuals made conscious decisions. Who did they want to serve?
That's right.
The majority of intellectuals in academia are practice the oldest profession in the world right now.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's not. So we have to actually go among working people and give them the knowledge. And that's what we're doing with our movement. So we train them on the same advanced system science that you would learn as a PhD. Because
that's what I really like about your movements and about your campaigns. Your campaigns are a way to pull people around, organize them, and give them the real tools and the perspective that they need to actually activate them. And that's what that's really about. That is so much more important than the elections. But again, when people are paying attention to what's going on, at least a little bit, that you can grab those people who are at least looking around and seeing the things that are out there, and then focus them on getting actively involved themselves. And that's why that is so important. Well, we're out of time, but thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Shiva, and we'll talk to you more about this. Shiva, the number four, and Senate.com. Again, go there. That'll show people how they can get involved, and they can learn about the swarm and how they can start to take control of this process instead of being controlled by it. We need to be history's actors. That's what Karl Rove used to mock us and say, well, you're just watching what we're doing. We're the people who are actually doing it. You can be the people who are actually doing it. That's the message from Dr. Shiva. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, David, thank you.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training, because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is a not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is a not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up, his own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.